Man. Woo. Never exactly. Man, there's a lot of estrogen in this room, huh? There any men in the house? Let's try that again, guys. Are there any men in the house? Yeah. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are in the house, in the building. If I could get two of the handful of men that we have. Moms, if you'll raise your hand, we'll give you a gift. Amen. These are magnets for your refrigerator because I know that it's just empty. And it needs another magnet. They are nice, though. I think there's a scripture on them or an encouraging statement, right? I guess I should have read them after I got them. Huh. Yeah, well, Karen said she did, so there's good. Amen. And if anyone else feels like they have mothered someone, then please take one. I'm sure we have extra. Amen. Becky, did you get one? Give one to Becky because she mothers everybody. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Warner. Thank you, Robert. Amen. Well, moms, let me pray over you and we'll dismiss the kids. Father, we just thank you. Lord, we give you praise for mothers. No one else is like a mama to us, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you bless them and strengthen them, to pour wisdom into them and through them, Lord. Father, to bless them with good kids, to bless them with obedient children who grow up to obey you. Let us follow you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, moms. Thank you, kids. You guys can be dismissed. I need two ushers. Herman, can you get a basket? And Warner, Robert has stepped out for a second. Go into the nursery. Amen. I'll do the announcements. Bet y'all do them quicker than you do. Amen. Just one second. Okay, I see it. Y'all have fun. We got it, Robert. Good delegation there, buddy. Father, we just thank you for all that you give us, Lord, for all the finances and provision and care. And Lord, we ask you to bless these families and this church and to bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. As they receive the offering, I will give you the announcements. Of course, today is Mother's Day. You can skip that. I think we know that. There's four ways to give, Becky. Will it not move? There it goes. Intercessory prayer. I think we can move on. We can move on. We're going to talk about women of the Bible. See, I told you I'd do them fast. Happy Mother's Day. We can move on. Look how fast I do these. Family and friends. Here we go. Family and Friends of Addicted Ones, it starts May 19th here in the auditorium at, I can't see the time, Trish. 7. Okay, good. Every Monday. And it does start the 19th, right, which is a week from tomorrow? Okay. And then the other announcement is the changes that heal. If you, ladies, if you want to be a part of that Bible study, that journaling, there's a QR code. I'll just keep my thoughts to myself. There's a QR code, and then you can join up online. So, and then the other announcement is there are free eggs on the bar if anyone wants them. All right. Who wants free eggs? Amen. Please don't get up and run now. No, that's okay. Open your Bibles up to Judges chapter 4. I told you, I'm fast. Be sure to tune in next week. Same Arise channel. You can see that video. I think you've seen it. I think maybe even a new one. Just don't tell Becky, my daughter, that I skipped it. It's not like I don't have a friend that edits, Becky Fudge. Amen. Judges 4. Amen. You guys all right today? I'll try not to be too lengthy. Wow, I've got a lot of time, though. It's only 10:45. Man, you might get out real early today. Nothing wrong with that, is it? Did you guys hear that? Flat sheets, twin size. Or full. Full or twin. So we're going to talk about Deborah today. Deborah is she's a wonderful character in Judges. You guys ever read Judges? That has got to be one of the weirdest books in the Bible. I know you don't. Most preachers don't tell you that kind of stuff, but I will, because this is the thing about Judges. It's not a story that you really want to read to your kids before you go to bed, before they go to bed. In fact, there's one of two chapters that I think are two of the most violent chapters in the Bible. One is Numbers 31, which is very violent. And the other one is Judges 21, which is just as violent. And then there's another one in Judges that has a child sacrifice. So it's not as if, you know, when you're reading and they're in these children's books. I don't know if you guys ever read through those children's books, but these violent stories are in there and they're glossed over, but they're still, I mean, sometimes the Bible is just raw. There's no other way to say it. I mean, if it was a movie, 10 years ago, none of you would have went to the theater to see it, because it had been rated some rating that you wouldn't go to the movies to see. I said that well, huh? You guys okay today? Y'all are all looking at it. I really like this side. It's like Susan up here, and then boom, they're all ready to go out the back door. And then over here too, Carrie's the only brave one. Thank you, Carrie. You guys in Judges 4? I'm going to read a portion of it, and then I'm going to read a little more. But I've got two verses here together to introduce Deborah. It says in Judges 4:3 and in Judges 5:7, it says this: "Then the sons cried out to the Lord for help." And in 5:7, it says, "You arose, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel, a mama in Israel." Amen. Father, I ask you to speak through your word to us today and teach us what you would teach us. Enlighten us, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds and teach us to appreciate our mothers and teach us how to pass to the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen. So Judges is basically a book that talks about, it's not the nation of Israel yet, it's just the tribes living in the land. There are actually three different introductions in Judges they're kind of transitionary statements moving from Joshua into Judges. And there's, like I said, there's three different ones. And it's been called the Dark Ages of Israel's history because it's very repetitive in that they rebel against God. They don't listen to Him. God allows an enemy to overtake them. They cry out to God, and God sends a deliverer to lead them out. It's where we get the stories of Gideon, right? And, of course, the story of Deborah. There are several judges in the book of Judges, and it is a very dark time. There's a lot of stories in there that make you go, hmm. And, you know, I think sometimes the Bible is written to make us think, to make us, I don't understand this, make us dig deeper, right? I mean, it's been said that the Bible's written on, I don't know, let's just say a fourth grade level, but it's not. Because there's things in here, I guarantee you, the other authors of other books that didn't write the book that they're reading, they struggled with also. I mean, it is a book about God, right? And God is, He's knowable, but now He's not completely knowable. Not by us, not by one of us, maybe by all of us, all of humanity. Anyway, here we are in Judges. So in Judges chapter 4, I'll start reading in verse 4. It says, "Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lappidoth, was a leader of Israel at that time. She would sit under Deborah's palm tree between Ramah and Bethel and Ephraim, what's a tough word to say on Sunday morning, Ephraim highlands. And the Israelites would come to her to settle their disputes. She sent word to Barak, Abinahim's son from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, 'Hasn't the Lord, the God of Israel, issued you a command? Go and assemble at Mount Tabor, and taking 10,000 men from the people of Naphtali and Zebulun with you, I'll lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, to assemble with his chariots and his troops against you at the Kishon River, and I'll help you overpower him.'" Amen. What a good word, huh? God's going to help them defeat their enemy. This king, Hazor, this king Jabin in Hazor, it's the second time that we've seen a king named Jabin in Hazor. There's one in Joshua chapter 11 also, and I'm pretty positive that they're not the same guy, okay? Because that was a while back in Israel's history. But the people would rebel after a judge had led them, and then God would send an enemy to overtake them and to punish them. And they were underneath this, let's just say they were underneath his thumb. They were underneath King Jabin's thumb. And they kept him pushed down, and we don't know for how many years. But here is this unusual person. The Bible tells us that Deborah is a wife. Actually, it tells us that she's a woman, she's a wife, she's a mother, she's a prophetess. She's not the only prophetess in the Bible. There are probably close to a dozen. I can't remember them all off by hand. Huldah is one of them. Miriam's one of them. There's several more. But here she is underneath her palm tree, as it says, and people come to her just like they came to Moses. You know how when the father-in-law of Moses came in and said, "You can't do this every day, all day long," because he was sitting there listening to complaints and bringing justice between the two people, right? Well, that's what the same Hebrew word that was used for Moses in that context is used of Deborah in this context. She would settle disputes, and she could hear from God. That's a good skill to have, isn't it? Listening to God and obeying what He says is an extremely good skill to have. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of There's a lot of masculinity that has a problem with Deborah being a prophetess and being called a judge. But then I just send them all back to Judges chapter 4 because that's what the Bible says about her. I have no problem with her doing that because in Christ there's no male or female, right? There's no Jew or Gentile, right? We are all one in Him. So people come to her, and that she would settle these disputes. And her name means honeybee, which I'm sure that's something that her mother would have given her. Honeybee, Jewish moms normally name their children. And she was the wife, the Bible tells us, of Lapidoth. Lapidoth means like flame or torch or brilliant. And so she could have been a woman because a word for wife in Hebrew is also the word for woman. So she could have been a woman of flame or a woman of brightness or a woman who's brilliant. You know, the Hebrew's a little difficult to understand there, even not just for me. It's for scholars, and I'm taking their word for it because I don't read Hebrew. I do like to listen to it pronounced, but I don't listen. But I could never pronounce it back to you. Okay, so anyway. Deborah, she's sitting there, as I often say, minding her own business. And God gives her a word for this guy, Barak. Barak lives in northern Galilee. Her palm is in southern Galilee. And she sends this word. She commands him, actually, as the Hebrew is, she commands him to gather the army because he's the leader of the army of Israel, which is a little odd in a story because they're not a monarchy. There's no one nation. They're all tribes. And in fact, Judges, sometimes the tribes are fighting other Israeli tribes, other Israelites. It's a very difficult time to live in, and it's a very dark time. And they don't have, none of the judges except for Deborah even come close to being a spiritual leader of Israel. In fact, the rest of them are lead them into idolatry. They lead them into greed. You should sit down one day and read the few chapters in Judges and just read it as the story that as it comes off, not trying to figure out everything and just let it speak to you. Because I remember as a teenager in high school, in public high school, I took an Old Testament survey course. I know, in high school, in the 70s. It's taught by Coach Alexander, I think. And he really liked this book, but it was really weird to read it. It's just a strange book to read. So Deborah's sitting there. She gets this word from God. She sends a message to this guy, to a man, Barak. And she commands him to, by the Lord's command, she commands him to get 10,000 men from those two tribes and come to the Mount of Tabor. And he comes all the way down to southern Galilee where she is. And he says, I'll do it, but I'll only do it if you go with me. And she says, I'll go with you, but a woman will get credit for the win, not you. Which is kind of an odd thing for her to say. But at the same time, and people make fun of that he was not, they don't make fun of that. They make note of it that Barak, this commander of army, was afraid to go after the enemy. And he, as rightly any of them would have been. The enemy was much stronger than them. They had 10,000, I think they had 10,000 warriors also, but they had 900 chariots. Israel had no, Israel didn't even have swords at this time. They had no, what's the word, metallurgy? They couldn't forge a sword. They couldn't forge a spear. They couldn't forge knives. They had flint knives. They had picks. They had forks. They had stuff that you do work with on your property, right? They had that kind of utensils. These other nations had taken up some of the warfare technology of the sea peoples. The Philistines had arrived by now, and they're the ones who brought chariots with them. They brought the ability to mix the two metals of iron and what is it, tin? I don't remember, but you mix these two metals, and it makes it so it makes it stronger. It's much stronger than a bronze sword. Here's the historian in me. They're moving from the Bronze Age into the Iron Age, okay? And so the people of Israel, they didn't have any of that technology. They didn't have any of those weapons. They'd never seen a chariot except from their enemies until David came along. So anybody would have been scared. I mean, he's going against a much larger, better equipped army. And so he rounds up his men because Deborah says, "I'll go with you." And I like to think that he wanted Deborah to go with him because he knew Deborah could hear from God. What if God had more instructions and he gets up there and he doesn't have that ability? He's never tuned his ear to the voice of God. But he requested that Deborah went with him. And she did. I mean, imagine this. A woman in the Old Testament who couldn't own property, who was property, going to war. She marched with them. She was there wherever Barak was, Deborah was right there. Actually, wherever Deborah was, let's just say Barak was there. Because it wasn't his idea to attack the enemy, it was God's, and it came through a mother. There's not another story like this in the Bible. It's just not. This woman is, she's like one of those Amazonian women, you know, from the DC comics. You know, Deborah probably didn't have, there wasn't a Bath and Body Works near Deborah. And we all love good scents. Right? We love good scents, and we love good scents, right? Okay. Anyway, you guys okay today? I am taking time to make this story as weird as possible because it is as weird as it gets in the Bible. If you remember, Miriam said she could hear from God too, right? And she got leprosy out of the deal. Remember that? But here this woman is, she hears from God, and she's leading this people. What a turnaround in 150 years. What a change of... And was she leading because no man would step up? I mean, the Korean church, what was his name? Paul Youngi Cho? Yeah, he couldn't get men to be his deacons, so he started anointing and ordaining female deacons. Because the men were all working. He had to send somebody to the hospital to pray for people. I mean, you got a church of, what, a million? Was that right? You guys okay out there? So they go, and she gives them this word that they're to get on top of Mount Tabor, which is on the southeast side of the Valley of Sharon. And the Valley of Sharon, on the other side, is Mount Carmel on the southwest. And that's where the enemy came from. And the enemy also came from north of where Barak was. And they came and they all met in this huge valley that stretches from the Jordan all the way to the Great Sea, the Mediterranean. And this river, the Kishon River, begins at the Gilboa Mountains near Jordan, and it flows for 43 miles all the way to the Gulf, to the Bay of Haifa. And it empties into the sea where, here's a word for you, where it becomes an estuary because it has salt water backwashing up into the river, and it's brackish for the last bit of it. But this river... it's not conducive to chariots. There's something about, one thing about iron chariots, they're very heavy. And God caught this enemy where these chariots were useless to these people. And the Zebulun and Naphtali came down the mountain, and they came into the plain, and they caught these two armies that had met together to destroy Israel, and they decimated them. They won the battle, and the enemy began to flee. And as they were fleeing, there was a general of the southern army. His name was Sisera. And Sisera was trying to get away. But there was a wife of a, what's his name? Hold on 1 second. You'll like this. Heber. His name was Heber. Always think he could have lived around here. Heber the Kenite. Get this. You got to read. This is one of the weirdest parts about the story. Now, Heber the Kenite, in verse 11, had moved away from the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab. Who's Hobab? Why, he's Moses' father-in-law. That's the third name we get for Moses' father-in-law. He's Jethro, he's Raul, and he's Hobab. I don't know if Moses had three wives and three different father-in-laws, or Jethro had three different names. Don't look at me like that, because nobody else knows either. There are people that write dissertations on who was Moses' father-in-law. I got mothers inside of me today. I keep saying that. But anyway, he had settled far away, which is near Kadesh, and his wife's name was Jael. Jael's another woman in the story. And she sees this guy trying to escape. Is it Sisera? It is Sisera. And he's trying to escape, and she says, "Hey, come in here. I'll hide you." And she covers him up. And she gives him, he asks for water, she gives him milk. I don't know about you, but when I drink a glass of milk, especially if it's not very ice cold, I get really sleepy. Maybe that's what she was thinking about. I mean, because wait till I tell you what she did, if you don't already know. She covers him up. He's resting because he's fleeing from the battle. And he says, "If somebody comes to the door and asks for me, don't tell them I'm in here. Just tell them there's no one here. No one's home but you." And she goes out to the door to look. And he lays down and goes to sleep. And after he goes to sleep, Jael picks up a hammer and a tent peg. And she drives it through his temple into the ground, the Bible says. I should have looked, because I'm wondering now, is this the first and the only time that a woman kills a man in the Bible? I mean, Delilah really did Samson wrong, but that's another story, right? She drove the tent peg. I mean, she wasn't even an Israelite. She wasn't even married to an Israelite. In fact, he's a descendant of Midianites. Her husband is. They're sworn enemies of the Israelites. But they're living in Israel. And she's a part of either Zebulun or Naphtali. Their home is somewhere in the battle zone. And a woman kills the general of the other army. I love those pictures of Jael. I love the thought of Jael. I love that she had the opportunity and she took the opportunity to defeat the enemy. There needs to be more women like that. More women need to have the permission. The enemy that is against you, you should kill him. I'm not talking about your fellow humans. I'm talking about the darkness, that Satan and his horde. I'm saying that women are not fragile. This is an episode where the two heroes in the whole story are both women. Both probably moms. Deborah was definitely a mother. And The end of it, God says, so on that day in verse 23, it says that God brought down Canaan's king, King Jabin, before the Israelites. And the power of the Israelites grew greater and greater over Canaan's king Jabin until they defeated him completely. I'll say this before I get into what I want you to learn today. Judges 4 and 5 tell the same story, but one is a narrative, one is a story. The other one is a poem. 5 is a poem. And Judges 5, along with Miriam's song and probably Moses' song, probably the oldest Hebrew that we have. In the song in Judges 5, it talks about the tribes of Israelites, and it doesn't mention Judah or Benjamin, which is very odd. It doesn't have a lot of them in there. There's only a few of them that are mentioned, and it mentions one that we don't know what they're talking about. Like I said, not just me, just people who can read Hebrew. So it's a really neat portion of the Bible because it's very old. I don't know about you, but when I feel like I got deep roots when I hear stuff like that. I feel like my family line, my belief system, it goes way back. It goes back. It's got a foundation underneath it. I may not understand everything about that foundation, but I know I'm standing on something strong. I know that it's built on who Jesus is, right? You guys okay out there? So let's learn some things, not just for moms, because it was a mother that showed us this, but let's learn something that we all can take home, right? The first thing is this. If Deborah had not had courage, courage would not have been found. Sometimes it's the most unlikeliest person is the one who stirs the whole nation to move. That's why I love Tolkien's literary works and The Lord of the Rings. One of the smallest people of Middle Earth, one of the most humblest people there, was the one who destroyed the ring. You watch the movies or read the books to know what I'm talking about, but it's the unusual. It's the David and Goliath. Any of you see The House of David on Amazon Prime? Y'all watch that? It was really good. Of course, it's fun to stretch out one chapter for 8 episodes, but it's good. But we love an underdog, don't we? I wonder how many men that were there when Barak got the word from Deborah. Come down here, I want to talk to you. Come down, I command you to come here and listen to what God's got to say to you. How many men would have went? You know, because God's real good at offending your sensibilities. He's real good at reminding you he's God and you're not, or he's God and I'm not. And she's not in here right now, but I can't tell you the times that Karen has spoken a word from God to us that gave us direction. I'm kidding. I gave her credit when she did it. I mean, good grace! If I'm gonna diss her judgment, I've got to start with the way that she said yes to marrying me. But Deborah's courage inspired others to act. Joshua 1:9 says this. My little grandson read this off the board the other day. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. because the Lord your God is with you. You know, when he spoke that to Joshua, Joshua had to be shaken in his boots, sandals. Because here he is. He's following Moses. Who wants to follow Moses? He raised a stick in the sky and God split a sea for him, right? I mean, who can beat that, right? But God tells him, I'm with you. I'm with you everywhere you go. He tells him, everywhere your foot falls, I'm going to go with you. And yet there's still moments where you and I feel like we are completely alone. And God is completely and utterly silent. Maybe in those times, and I'm just thinking out loud here, maybe we need to be like Barak and listen to someone else who we normally wouldn't listen to. When we left the church in Texas, we didn't know where we were going. It wasn't pressing because they gave us a nice exit package. It wasn't nice enough, but it was still very nice. So I go to Walmart and give Keegan, he's eight. He was 8 years old. Put a quarter in a machine in there, as kids do, right? You turn the little dial and something comes out of there. And so he gets this little toy, and we go get in the car, and we go, and we're on the way back to our house. And I said, Keegan, where do you think we should go? Where do you think we should, you know, where do you think we should, where our next assignment's going to be at? And he opened his little toy and pulled out a Union Jack from England. He goes, Dad, I think we should move to England. And I hadn't told him about moving to England. I hadn't mentioned to him about moving to England. I mean, he's just eight. He had real things to worry about. And he was right. Out of the mouth of babes, huh? Or out of the voice of a woman. Sometimes I miss my mother. Oh, and how I wish you could have all met her. Because then the stories that I tell about her would just mean so much more to you. If you could see those little crooked fingers, because she was very arthritic. And she was very young when she died. She was only 71. I can remember her praying in the kitchen because that's where she usually was. That was like her domain. In fact, she used to fuss at us and get us out of the kitchen so she could cook the meal for everybody, and then she'd fuss at us after the meal that nobody helped her. She would sing, and she had the most horrible voice you've ever heard, almost as bad as mine. Her voice cracked, and she sounded like metal fingertips going down a blackboard. You don't know what I would give to hear her sing, Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus. Those hymns that would come out of her mouth. I have a faith because of her. Because she had the courage to have a faith. We have a faith. And our faith isn't just for our generation, it's the past to the next generation. So the first point is, have courage that inspires others to act. Have courage to inspire the people around you to do what God's asking them to do. Number two, Deborah's wisdom guided and nurtured the sons of Israel to defeat the enemy. Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. If we don't listen to what God's saying to us, what are we listening to? You know, sometimes Sometimes we hear what God's saying, and we think it's so crazy that we don't want to do it. We think that it's so out of the ordinary for us, but you know, he doesn't. He told the man with the withered hand, stretch your hand out. The man with the withered hand had never stretched his hand out. God will ask you to do things you've never done before, that you have no reference for, that's beyond your understanding. I mean, if his peace passes our understanding, just think what his instructions do. Just like Jesus said, go, you know, let's feed them. Let's feed the 5,000. The disciples are looking at him like you're crazy. And some of them are voicing almost those very words. Where are we going to get all this food at? There's no, you know, there's no Sam's nearby, right? And he says, what have you got? And thank God, some little boy had offered up his lunch that his mother had fixed him. Sometimes we want to know how everything is going to work out before we act. Sometimes God's just saying, hey, just step out. He told these people, a small people, not even all of the 12 tribes, just two of the 12 tribes. He said, you get, in fact, in the Song of Deborah, she's chastising Dan and Asher and the other tribes. She mentions and says, hey, where were you? Were you home? She actually said this. Were you home tending your sheep? Anyway, her wisdom guided and nurtured the sons of Israel. That's what the Bible says. We have a responsibility to hear from God and to speak it into the next generation. Isn't that what Paul reminded Timothy? The faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother is in you. Doesn't say to him, the faith that was in your grandfather and your dad. It says the faith that was in your mother and your mama's mama has been passed down to you. Psalms 127, let the Lord build the house. And the final one is this. You guys okay? Is this a good message? I'm having fun. Deborah's faithful listening to the voice of God brought lasting peace. You know, Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Doesn't say to doom scroll until you find a reel that speaks to you. It says, be still and wait patiently. We don't talk enough about just being quiet before God. I mean, we pray all the time, right? We're constantly in prayer, and most of our prayers are petitions. God, can you do this? Can you do that? Hey, what about this? This over here? Hey, and there's a lot of needs in all of our lives, right? And it's difficult just to sit and not ask God for anything, but just to hear his voice, just to hear his nudge, just to hear him whisper something inside your heart. There's not enough. Because on Sunday mornings, when all of us come to celebrate our relationship with him, if it gets quiet in here, it gets awkward, doesn't it? Nobody's talking. Nobody's singing. We're not doing anything. It's because we get more, we concentrate on doing more than just being. But when you're still, you're being still. Your being is still. Sometimes you have to still your fear. Sometimes you have to still your confusion. Sometimes you have to still your bad attitude. My bad attitude. Sometimes you have to... You ever had a conversation with God and you start off real well, and all of a sudden you find yourself apologizing. Things start to come back up and go, hey, you forgot about this. You think I forgot about this? That wasn't very nice, Tommy Lee. Thank God he never calls me Thomas Ray. Still have trauma from that. My mother screaming in her shrill voice. Be still and wait patiently. Deborah sat underneath a palm tree. You know what? Palm trees can grow from 40 to 80 feet high. They're just huge. And palms signify peace. She's sitting and she's doing her business underneath a palm tree. We need to find our own palm tree. We need to find our own place where we sit and listen and let God know, I got nothing here but a blank page. I got no phone. I got no device. I have a tablet and a pen or a pencil and a crayon, and I want you to speak to me. I want you to say something to me, and I'm going to be quiet and be still. You know, when you're listening for God, when you want it, when you need a real word, it's hard to stop talking. Because you think, if I say this, he'll say something back. If I just get this out. Maybe before you sit down and be quiet and be still, you just sit down and write a letter to God. There's something about writing that brings out words we didn't even know we knew. I mean, when I write something, I write in a vocabulary that I can't speak. Which kind of, I know it's weird, but not as weird as Judges, but still, it's weird. Listening to God. Give us courage. Give us wisdom. God, give us faithful listening. Amen? And finally, I'll close with this scripture because I love this. I love it when I'm talking to a minister buddy and they've never read this scripture before, but I do love it. It says in Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her child, so I comfort you. You'll be comforted in Jerusalem. He's speaking to Isaiah, and God is telling him, as a mother comforts her child. It's hard to see God as a metaphor of a mother, isn't it? But there's about three of them in the Bible where he nurtures, he comforts, he nurses. That's where he gives of himself into us and passes down who he is through us. Because that's what mamas do. Mamas train us to be nice when we go out in public, to have better manners at someone else's house than we had at their house, right? That we wait, that we're polite. That we said, I know growing up, if you didn't see, I could get away with being smart to my mom. If I was far enough away from her, I could get away. But if I acted up like that in public at someone else's house, it would have been the end of the world for Tommy Lee. God doesn't end our life like that, but He teaches us to be like him. That's all he was doing through Deborah. She was his daughter. The one thing the writer could have put in there that he didn't put in there is that she was the daughter of God. She listened to her father. She let her father encourage her, instill courage inside of her. And she faithfully listened to his voice and she responded to it. There's so much we can learn from a woman like that. Amen? Let's all rise. Let's all stand. Rise. I guess I've watched too many of them. Too many medieval period films. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, even when it's weird. God, I know that you want to speak to our hearts through these stories, that you have encouragement to give us, that you have faith to deposit inside of us. Open our ears and the ears of our heart, Lord, that we can all listen and obey to your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Be blessed. Happy Mother's Day again, ladies.